Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Little, Minister of Trust Apostolic Church of Southern Congregation. Now I'm down at the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is May the 12th, 2023, or it is the 23rd day of Zift, 2027. We will start our first service day with a song, and then with a prayer, and then we'll go into our study entitled The Servants of Yahweh and the Gathering Time. And this is, once again, June the 21st, 1947, text of address by the V.T. Holler, the Shepherd Rod, is one time of greetings, number 46. Studying the 49th chapter of Isaiah, this chapter points out the servants of the Yahweh and the gathering time, their racial lineage, and their need for the territorial expansion. We shall begin the study with the first three verses of Isaiah 49, verse 1 through 3. Listen, O owls, unto me, and hearken, you people, from far. For the Yeshua has called me from the womb. This is the Son now. The Son is in charge, but people will dispute with you and say, this is the Father talking, and let's leave it at that. Let's go back to the Father and see where we get to go from there. It says, for the Yahweh, the Father, has called me from the womb. Well, Yahweh is the original creator of all life, including his own Son, Revelation 3:14. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hit me and made me a polished shaft in his quiver. Hath he hit me and said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. For the Spirit of Yahweh in the person of Israel, through the prophet Isaiah, declares that Israel was born for no other reason than to be Yahweh's servant, and urges that this fact must now be made known throughout the world, even unto the isles of the sea, where the Gentiles are at, because the Gentiles are brethren to the Hebrew Israelites. They are blood kin folks, since Jacob himself was dead long before Isaiah the prophet wrote. The truth clearly stands out that the Spirit of Yahweh in the Scripture speaks not personally to Jacob himself, but unto his descendants, unto those unto whom this truth is made known, and who now bear the responsibility for the broadcasting of it far and wide. Plainly then, the people in whom the Yahshua is to be glorified, this is the Son now, and who again bring Jacob unto him, Isaiah 49:3-5, are themselves too to be made known internationally, for they are those who finish the gospel work as the very last, or and the very last, laborers in the vineyard. That's the fifth group of laborers in Matthew 20, verse 6, that will call at the 11th hour. In other words, at the end of the 11th hour, to work in the 12th and last parabolic hour, in the harvest time of verse history. Unto them the Yahshua gives a mouth as sharp as a sword. These are to be his servants during the gathering of the people, the day in which Yahshua is glorified. there being hid as it were in his quiver, connotes that the coming into the limelight is to be a complete surprise unto all. For the first time, the world is to learn that these servants of Yahweh are the tail end of the Jacob's descendants, his hidden servants, those who are together his people, even from the isles of the sea. Again, it is written, in the last solemn work, few great men will be engaged. They are self-sufficient, independent of Yahweh, and he cannot use them. For the Yahshua, the Son, he has faithful servants who in the shaking, testing time will be disclosed to you. And this is the antitypical disciple of the apostles in our day. From the 12 apostles that Yahshua appointed the first time when he came 2,000 years ago, there are precious ones now hidden who have not bowed the knee unto Baal. They have not had the light which has been shining in a concentrated blaze upon you, that it may be under a rough and uninviting exterior, that the pure brightness of a genuine character will be revealed. Testimony, Volume 5, page 881. Isaiah 49:4. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Yahshua, and my work is with my Yahweh, the Father. At the ouster of the labor, the results must be, or at the offset of their labor, the results must be such as for the bringing almost a complete discouragement. They nevertheless know that they are appointed by the Yahweh, and so they leave their judgment, their work, and success with him. Isaiah 49:5. And now saith the Yahweh, that formed me from the womb. Let's do that again. Isaiah 49:5. And now saith the Yahshua that formed me the Father Yahweh. Let's do that again. Isaiah 49:5. And now saith the Yahweh that formed me from the womb to be his servant, for the bringing Jacob again unto him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Yahweh, my Creator, and my Creator, Yahweh, the Father, shall be my strength. For their encouragement, they are told that even though Israel be not gathered, he will, however, be gathered. Yet they shall be glorious in the eyes of Yahweh, and Yahweh shall be their strength. Well, actually, this is a glorious in the eyes of his Son, Yahshua, and the Yahshua shall be their strength. Through his blood, I might add, since they are now not at another time, but in the day that this prophecy is fulfilled, call for the bringing Jacob unto the Yahweh, the Father, again. It shows that Jacob, as the people of Yahweh and the Jacobite state, must have departed from the Yahweh. Now they must be brought back unto him by a mighty revival and reformation. As I said before, revival and reformation accompanies a new movement. So you will only have five revival and reformations for Israel from the time that Moses was called to lead them out of the children of Israel out of Egypt, 1500 B.C., that was their first revival and reformation and movement. The fifth one started at Kermit, Texas, 2002, at Gilead Center, with Elijah David being assigned the leadership. For this scripture had as its type the time when the apostles were finally instructed for the preaching of the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant unto the Gentiles. And they got gospel here to the Gentiles. So it's the preaching of the plan of salvation as well as unto the Jews. Now, for the raising up of the tribes of Jacob, is first to raise up the first fruit, 144,000, 12,000 out of each tribe of the Israel, Revelation 7:3. Moreover, to be a light and salvation unto the ends of the earth means that these latter-day servants of the Yahweh are to finish the gospel work, or to finish the teaching of the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant for the redemption of all mankind, of the living and the dead, here in the 12th parabolic and last parabolic hour of the probationary time that we're in now since 2002, are to preach the gospel or the plan of the salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:20, 19 and 20. It says, the gospel of the kingdom in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and this bring at the end, Matthew 24:14. It is our privilege, therefore, not only to bring the light of Yahweh unto the denomination where the first fruits, 144,000, Revelation 14:4, of the great spiritual harvest are, but even to bring the same light unto the second fruits, that's the Gentiles, unto the great multitude that are gathered out of our own nation, a multitude that no man can number, Revelation 7:9. He says, those who are thus privileged are, as the Yahweh himself testified, the descendants of Jacob, the lost tribes of Israel, who are now coming into the light, Isaiah 49:7. Thus saith Yahshua, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despises, and to him whom the nation abhorreth, unto a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship because of the Yahshua that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. For the Yahshua is here seen, the Son, speaking unto a people whom the men despise, unto them whom the nation abhors, unto the servants of the rulers, unto laymen, not unto the denominationally recognized ministers. For this servant of Yahshua, the scripture makes clear, is despised and abhorred as much as was Yahshua himself. For the hate, then, that is heaped upon us by our latest sin brethren, must not be a discouragement unto us, but rather a great encouragement. And why? Because the Spirit of Yahshua himself testifies that we are the servant of the Yahweh for this time, that he is to bless our work so much so that even the kings of the earth shall see our rising, and princes also shall come and worship. Isaiah 49:8. Thus saith Yahshua, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of the salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for the establishing of the earth, for the causing to inherit the desolate heritages. For Yahweh has heard us in the probationary time, here in the 12th parabolic hour, in the last verse history, a time in that we can be sealed and be preserved for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to inherit the desolate heritages, to restore all things. It says that Isaiah 49:9, that thou mayest say unto the prisoners, go forth, unto them that are in darkness, show yourself, for they shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. For it matters not where the Yahweh's people be, nor with what circumstances they be placed, for they shall nevertheless all hear his servants proclaiming the year of the final jubilee, and all are to be let out free, all are to share this great ever-increasing spiritual feast, Isaiah 49:10-11. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of the water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. For Yahshua here guarantees that now in the gathering time there shall be no obstruction of any kind, that he is the master of the situation. Isaiah 49:12, behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north, and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. For the Yahweh's highway shall be filled with an exalted, and a multitude gathered from the four corners of the earth shall safely walk therein. Isaiah 49:13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. He said, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Yahshua has comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Not that the Yahshua will comfort his people, but that he has already comforted them. He has filled them with the truth. Isaiah 49:14. The Zion said, the Yahshua has forsaken me, and my Yahshua has forgotten me. Before they are sealed, those who are to be the inhabitants of Zion, the 144,000, think Yahweh has forsaken them. Yahweh's answer unto them, though, it is this. Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yea, but I'll not forget thee. Even though some, rather than praying for the reestablishing of the Zion, are actually praying against it, nevertheless they too will soon find out that the Yahweh, the Father, is entirely for it. Isaiah 49:16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. From all the natural appearances, it seems that Yahweh has forgotten Zion as the place of his earthly throne, that he has left his enemies to abuse his people and to deface Zion's exalted hill. But Yahshua himself assures that for the Zion's sake and for the people's freedom, was he nailed on the cross, Isaiah 49:17. For thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers, and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Zion's children shall be anxious to get unto her, but her enemies, the sinners, will be driven away from her. Isaiah 49:18-19. Lift up thine eyes around about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come unto thee. As I live, saith thee, Yahshua, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all as with an ornament, and bind them on thee, as a bride that doeth for thy waste and thy desolate places, and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by the reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallow thee up shall be far away. For Zion's children shall be anxious to get to her, but her enemies, the sinners, will be driven away from her. Isaiah 49:18-19. Lift up thine eyes round about. Oh, I've never already read this. Let's continue on. For the word behold calls attention unto a goodly number of the precious souls already preparing to come. In them shall the Yahweh's servants glory. Moreover, in spite of the great number of the unrepentant sinners that are to be taken away, the land shall even then be too narrow because of the great incoming multitude. Isaiah 49:20. For the children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the other shall say again in thine ears, the place is too straight for me. Give place for me that I may dwell. From this verse, we gather that the children that the Zion shall lose are those who refuse to be converted. Her loss, though, is to be replaced with a great number from all nations, and thus shall the land become too narrow. For the verses that follow reaffirm this view. Isaiah 49:21-23. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, who hath begotten me thee, seeing I have lost my children, and am destined a captive, and removing to and fro? And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where had they been? Thus saith Yahshua, behold, I will lift up mine hand unto the Gentiles, and set up my standard unto the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down unto thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Yahshua, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Though we may now be either hated or unknown, the day is coming, and we shall be comforted. For the great men of the earth shall then, so to speak, lick up the dust of our feet. Isaiah 49:24-25. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Are the lawful captives delivered? For thus saith Yahshua, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. No power in the world shall any longer be able to hold Yahweh's people down in the dust. Isaiah 49:26. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with the sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, Yahshua, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, as the Mighty One of Jacob. Our enemies shall kill one another with as great zeal as if they had filled themselves with a sweet wine. Then those that remain shall recognize that the Yahshua, as the Mighty One of Jacob, is our Savior and Redeemer. Shall we therefore still sleep on? Or shall we arise in the righteousness of Yahshua and get ready to meet the Yahshua and to be with him in his kingdom? Your opportunity and the time of your decision is now come and cannot be put off. You must take a firm and active stand with the layman's movement, and this the work of which it is first for the church, then for the world. Okay, this brings the end of number 46, Timely Greetings, Volume 1, and that's entitled The Servants of Yahweh. Now we're going to go on into Jacob's time of trouble, Judah and Israel going home. And this is one time to read number 47. Text of address, June 28, 1947, by the V.T. Hutter. We are now to continue the same subject which we have been studying from the book of Isaiah, but today we shall study it from the book of the Jeremiah. To begin with, we shall notice that the first chapters of the book deal with the ancient Judah and Israel, with their sins and the stubbornness of the heart, and with their resultant dispersion throughout the Gentile nation. For the 30th chapter, however, deals not with the scattering of the ancient Judah and Israel, but with the gathering of the Judah and Israel in our day. We shall now begin our study with the first three verses of Jeremiah 30, verse 1 to 3. For the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Yahshua, saying, Thus speaketh the Yahshua of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Yahshua, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel. And they're Yahshua's people because of his, he redeemed them by his blood, and so therefore they're his people. And Judah said to Yahshua, And I will cause them to return unto the land that I gave unto their fathers, and they shall possess it. Note that both Judah and Israel together have the promise of the returning unto their homeland, as this has never yet been realized. The prophecy is yet to be fulfilled. Jeremiah 30:46. And these are the words that the Yahshua spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith Yahshua, We have heard a voice of the trembling, of the fear, and not of the peace. And ye now test ye now and see whether a man doth travail with a child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loin, as a woman in the travail? And all faces are turned into paleness. For the cause of the fear here forecast is fundamentally needless and unnecessary, declares the Yahshua. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, and so that none is like it. It is even the time of the Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For the people that have come unto this antitypical time of the trouble are returning unto the homeland are comforted. Apparently it is bad enough to frighten all, but Yahweh's encouraging counsel is, fear not. Plainly the burden of this chapter is concerning the antitypical returning unto the homeland. Though terrible the trouble may seem, yet the outcome of it is to be the same as in the type. Right now we may not appreciate this study as we ought, but the time is soon coming in that we will dig as fast and as hard for it as we would get out from under an avalanche. Those who have but little faith in the word of Yahweh, though the study will not do them much good, now is the time to start cultivating the faith that we need to have then. It says that for the Jacob, our type, well knew that the Yahweh had directed his return from Padan-Aram unto the homeland. Yet he trembled when he heard that Esau with the 400 men were on the way to meet him. Besides, he was led to wrestle with the angel all night long, for he prevailed only because he would not let the angel go until he blessed him. But the final result was that on the morrow, Esau, rather than destroying the whole company, very kindly greeted Jacob with a kiss and cordially invited him to return home. So when it all worked itself out, Jacob plainly saw that there was no need at all to have ever feared. How encouraging that all these things happened unto them for an example. And they are written for admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. 1 Corinthians 10:11. That which happened unto Jacob is sure to happen unto us. And now comforting to know, and how comforting to know all this ahead of the time. Now, if never before, we should see that where there is a type, there is also an antitype, and that where there is no type, there is no truth. It says in Jeremiah 30, verse 8, for it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Yahshua of the host, that's the Son speaking, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. This verse plainly says that Yahweh is to free his people from the Gentile yoke, and that strangers unconverted shall no more trouble them. Jeremiah 30 verse 9. That they shall serve the Yahweh their king, and David their king. Let's do that again. For they shall serve the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. No longer shall the followers of the truth serve others, but they shall serve the Yahshua, and a king, antitypical David, Elijah David, whom the Yahweh himself shall provide. Jeremiah 30, verse 10. For therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith Yahshua, Thou to be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. There is therefore no need of the fear, but there is a need for the faith in the promises of the Yahweh. Jeremiah 30, verse 11. For I am with thee, saith the Yahshua, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in a measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For the punishment dealt to Israel is their being scattered among the Gentiles, as amplified in the verses which follow. For the time of their freedom has nevertheless come, and for this we should be glad and give Yahweh the glory. Jeremiah 30, verse 12 to 19. For this saith the Yahshua, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? For thy sorrow is incurable, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto thee. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into the captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. For I will restore health unto thee. There's that health. That's what we're working for. I'm going to restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Yahshua, because he called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion. Mount Zion is the 12th hour, in other words, for us, the kingdom of David's place, whom no man seeketh after. Thus saith the Yahshua, behold, I will bring again the captivity of the Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. And having gone through their captivity, the people shall fully realize Yahweh's mercy and his wisdom to save them, for they shall be happy forevermore, for he will multiply them in the land of their fathers, and there he will make them great. Okay, it says Jeremiah 30, verse 20, for their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them, for the kingdom, the church purified and apart from the world, is to be as natural and as real as was the kingdom of the ancient Israel, that there will be no sinners in it. Jeremiah 30:21-23. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engages his heart to approach unto me, saith Yahshua? and you shall be my people, and I will be your Yahweh, or I'll be your Redeemer, your Savior. Behold, the whirlwind of the Yahshua goeth forth with a fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall a thing upon the head of the wicked, for the noble shall be of themselves. That is, the kingdom shall be self-governing with a theocracy. For the word behold calls attention unto something that can be seen, and therefore implies that the Yahshua's whirlwind is already going or doing its work. No wonder then that we are now having disturbance of all kinds and heavy loss of the life and property throughout the earth. Jeremiah 30, verse 24. For the fierce anger of the Yahshua shall not return until he have done it, and until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. For the very fact that these truths are now revealed, and also the fact that the things foretold by the scriptures are now taking place, plainly show that we are now living in the latter days, the days in which we must consider the cause of the evils which envelop the whole world and make our calling and election sure. How thankful we ought to be that the Yahshua is feeding us with the meat in the due season. Though people kill one another by the millions in order to free themselves from the yoke of some other nation, Moses freed the ancient Israel without a casualty. We should now know that faith removes the mountains, while doubt ruins nations. We should no longer be fool and slow of the heart to believe all that the prophets have written. Luke 24:25. Believe what the Yahshua's motto, and it should be ours too. No doubters will ever enter into his kingdom. For these things are written that you might believe, John 20:31. There is but one sensible conclusion that you can come to, and that is to wholeheartedly accept and to comply with all the prophets that the prophets have written, that no one divert your attention from this truth. That's the end of number 47, Jacob's Time of Trouble. Now we got number 48 entitled Yahweh's Certification for the Resurrection, Purifying, and Consolidating Judah and Israel. July the 5th, 1947, Vicki Harloff, Text of Advent. One Time of Greetings, number 48. It says, this afternoon we are to study Jeremiah 31, for it contains inspirations guaranteed for the Yahweh's promise for Yahweh's people to return unto the homeland. This chapter, you will recognize, contains a prophecy for the latter days. It says that Jeremiah 31:1, and at the same time saith Yahshua, will I be the king or the savior, redeemer of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. For the phrase at the same time takes our thoughts back unto Jeremiah 30, verse 24, where it explains that the time in the latter days, our time, not long hence therefore, our Yahweh will be the Yahweh of all the family, or our Savior Yahshua will be the Savior and Redeemer of all the families of the Israel. As he's going to play Yahweh's role as a king of the whole earth. a saint and a sinner. During the judgment for the living will no longer be commingled. Jeremiah 31:2. For this saith Yeshua, for the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. For the people who survived the captivity are to find grace in the lands of the Gentiles in the wilderness away from the vineyard, since the promised land is in the vineyard, Isaiah 5, then what would be the wilderness be but the lands of the Gentiles, Yahweh's people, Yahshua's people, that's the Son, will find this grace at the time that Yahshua caused them to rest from their sojourning after the judgment in the house of Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17, takes place, Jeremiah 31:3. For Yahshua hath appeared of the old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with the loving kindnesses have I drawn thee. At the fulfillment of this prophecy, the people will realize that Yeshua has really loved them, and that he draws them unto himself with a loving kindness. Jeremiah 31:4. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of the Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth of it in the dances of them that make merry. For the Yeshua assures his people that though the Gentile nations have torn down their kingdom, he will restore it unto them, and they shall again become a glorious and joyous nation. Okay, that's the Gentile. These promises imply that the people are not now adorned and happy. We may not fully realize this, but the Yeshua knows better than we do. Jeremiah 31:5. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of the Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall eat them as a common thing. Most of the world thinks that as the 10 tribes, the kingdom of the Israel are lost among the Gentiles, a nation, that their kingdom is forever gone. Yet Yahweh, Yahshua the Son, who does according unto his good pleasure, plainly declares that the faithful, after their separation from the unfaithful, shall be gathered out and brought back into the mountains of the Samaria, and that they shall plant and eat the fruit of their planting as a common thing. Jeremiah 31:6. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up unto Zion unto Yeshua our Savior. For the future, the watchmen of Mount Ephraim, rather than separating themselves from those of Mount Zion, as they did anciently, shall gladly lead the laity back unto Zion. No longer shall arise the question, why is it that our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship? John 4:20. Jeremiah 31:7. For thus saith Yahshua, sing with the gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Yahshua, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. For the remnant are those who survived the judgment in the house of Yahweh. Yahweh's people now, while dwelling among the chief of the nations, are urged to proclaim this good tidings in their midst with the singing gladness and praise, saying, O Yahshua, save thy people, This truth is now the very present truth, and it is to be proclaimed and heeded. To work and to pray to this end is the message of the hour. Jeremiah 31:8. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and will gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with the child, and her that travaileth with the child together. A great company shall return thither. We need not fear, our efforts will not be fruitless. Yahweh's sincere people will hear and give heed unto the message of this day, and Yahshua will thus gather them from the four corners of the earth, for they, be they blind or lame, be they women or children, they shall all return into the vineyard of the Yahshua, that's in the land of Israel. Jeremiah 31:9, for they shall come with the weeping and with the supplication, will I feed them, I will cause them to walk by the rivers of the waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father unto Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Ephraim himself, inspiration says, was to become a multitude of the nations. Genesis 48:19-20. Okay, it says, Jeremiah 31:10. Hear the word of Yahshua, O you nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Yahweh is speaking, and who dare not take his word to heart? Who dare be indifferent and keep silent in order for the nations to be able to say, he that scattereth Israel will gather him and keep him? They must be nations that believe, nations that understand these prophecies and promises, for they are to do what we are doing. But since there is no nation doing this at the present time, and since we are the only ones that are engaged in this work, for the truth becomes evident that our message is to awaken nations unto the fact that we, the last descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel, are called forth to declare this truth not only unto all our brethren, but even unto the nations. Then the nations are to be broadcast it to other nations, so declares the scriptures. They are to proclaim that Yahweh's people are to be gathered and kept too. We therefore must not fail in our trust. We must prove worthy of our calling. Jeremiah 31:11. For the Yahshua hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he, and that was his twin brother Esau. We are not able to redeem ourselves, nor are we able of ourselves to return unto our land. Yahweh is to accomplish all this for us. Yahshua the Son, he has accomplished all this for us. We ought to therefore to be thankful that our freedom and redemption do not depend upon ourselves. For the responsibility is Yahweh. He is the Yahshua. He is to redeem us by his blood from him that is stronger than we. And that's antitypical Esau. And that was taking place at Kermit, Texas, 2002 to 2003. It took a whole year. It went from Passover to Passover. 2002, 2003. Jeremiah 31:12-14. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together unto the goodness of Yeshua, for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a water garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn the mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow, and I will satiate the soul of the priest with the fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith Yeshua. These verses, I am sure, need no interpretation or elucidation. Jeremiah 31:15-16. Thus saith Yeshua, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not. Thus saith Yeshua, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded. Thus saith Yeshua, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. For the understanding of these verses, we must first look into the historical background of them. Rachel, the wife of Jacob, had but two sons of her own, Joseph and Benjamin. For they were the only sons that was born unto Jacob in the promised land. Rachel died while giving birth to Benjamin, and so she herself could not have wept for the loss of her children. They were both with her when she died. Hence the only conclusion one can come to is that Rachel in this scripture is figurative. After the death of Solomon, the kingdom was divided, for the 10 tribes that taken the north and the 2 tribes taken the south. The tribe of Joseph was in the one kingdom, and the tribe of Benjamin in the other. Rachel, therefore, must be the figurative mother of the children of both kingdoms, Judah and Israel. For the incident of Jeremiah 31:15, Matthew applied unto Herod's killing the children in the attempt for the slaying of the Yeshua, Matthew 2:18. A study of this verse along with the entire context of the chapter, however, will disclose that it has an even more direct application for the dispersion of both kingdoms, Judah and Israel, and of their return from the lands of their enemies unto the fatherland. Jeremiah 31:17-18. And there is hope in thine end, saith Yeshua, that thy children shall come again unto their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself that thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a book on a custom unto the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Yeshua, my Savior, my Redeemer, my King. For the two distinct thoughts are brought to view in this verse. First, that the children of the kingdom will come again unto their own border. And second, that they will have beforehand experienced a great revival and reformation. And that's the revival and reformation that we're looking for right now to take place in the next future event. They will have realized that the Yahshua's chastisement was for their own good, and that the Yeshua is their Savior, Redeemer, their Emancipator, their King, and that he's redeemed by his blood of all kindred that's of the earth, and that's Revelation 5:9. For this reformation, along with Yahweh's mercies, is further seen in the following verses. Jeremiah 31:19-20. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh, I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. And Ephraim, my dear son, is he a pleasant child? For since I speak against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith Yeshua. For the next verses contain Yahweh's command and counsel unto his people. This Yahshua's command and counsel unto his people, the Son. Jeremiah 31:21. Sit thee up the way marks, make thee high heaps. Sit thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O Virgin of Israel, turn again unto these thy city. Inspiration here very definitely urges Yahweh's faithful people to get ready for their return unto the promised land, and continues. Jeremiah 31:22. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Asher has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. As it is not possible for a woman actually to encompass a man, a woman here spoken of must therefore be symbolical of the church, and the man whom she is to encompass is, according unto inspiration, the Yahshua himself. The church, therefore, is to be made to encompass Yahshua, and thus enter into her new and happy experience. Sing and rejoice, O daughter Zion, for lo, I will come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. This is Yahshua's second coming. Saith Yahshua, and many nations shall be joined unto Yahshua in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Yahshua of the host hath sent me unto thee, and the Yahshua shall inherit Judah his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. That's the tribe of Judah, to be his lawgiver. Genesis 49:10. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Yahshua, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Zechariah 2:10 and the 13. Jeremiah 31:23-24. Thus saith Yahshua the host, the Savior of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. For Yahshua bless thee, O habitation of justice and mountain of the holiness, and they shall dwell in Judah itself, and in all the cities thereof together, husbandmen, and they that go forth with the flocks. Again and again we are told that the kingdom of the Yahshua, okay, here it is right here, the kingdom of the Yahshua, the Son, the church purified, free of the terrors, is not something mystical, but that it is absolutely real. Okay, this brings the end of our study for this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archives to hear this message. And more of us close now with a song. Breath in the Soul by Elijah David. Song that I've written February 26, 2006. I used to like the things that meant good to me, just like the world thought it would be. A little okay if the sample is part of me. But just like sinning, that's what it is. Started out with the little kids and ended up with bills long overdue. After I thought I'd had enough of sampling all that wonderful stuff, I went to the yard and threw in the towel. He asked me what changed my mind, a little too much.
such as that red wine, and the sun that filled it in between wet the ground. For the bird of the hour is breath and the soul, something that I'll never let go, something that means more than tongue can tell. Rising up early, going to bed late, in the quiet hours, and then it fades, and then I fall asleep, for all is well. I used to like the things that appealed to me, just like feathers I couldn't see. Couldn't sink the hours, bird, to save my soul. Then one day, opened his book, something that I'd longed for so, something that had never will grow old. The end that I discovered as I began to read, I soon discovered I had a great need to be baptized in the likeness of his death. I long for the day to be like him, to be free from sin and whole again. I close my eyes and sleep red. Being born of the Spirit and washed in the blood, a quenching of the eye like nothing else does, fills you with His love now and eternally. So take hold, brother, and don't you let go. I wrap His love all around your soul, putting it on display for all the world you see. Bird of the hour's breath and the soul, something that I'll never let go, something that needs more than tongue can tell. Rising up early,